This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, hello, and yes, I know it's been about 3 weeks, I guess, since you've heard from me. It's been kind of a wild week. I meant to have a show at the two-week mark, as we've been kind of going every 2 weeks, but it's been a wild week, and we're even having a hard time getting this third show. This is our, fourth attempt? I've been having some technology errors with the new technology, would you believe it? So,
surprise.
Yeah, and guess what? That voice, that wasn't Eric, and that wasn't Philip. Did you recognize that voice? Some of you long-term people might remember this voice. Say something again.
Something.
You're supposed to say something again.
That was something again.
There you go. See? We got jokes on this show. We got jokes. But yes, that is my wife, the Wendy Nerd.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, the introvert. We brought her back. We haven't talked to her. I've talked to her every day, but you haven't gotten to hear from her in a while. So I thought it'd be fun to have her on because I've been having a heck of a time, you know, getting things coordinated this week. And we got some fun coming up this week. What we're going to do is, of course, I got a lot of things to talk about. But Raiders of the Lost Ark is at its 40th anniversary. Can you believe that? 40 years ago.
Yay.
Also, 41 years since The Empire Strikes Back was just this week.
I know that's some people's like favorite. It's not mine.
Yeah, I do enjoy it.
I have to watch the next one after that.
Yeah.
I can't just take one and leave everything as it is. You know, I want to resolve.
And Empire is a good one. But yeah, see, I remember hearing, I think it was the voice of, I can't think of the actor's name, but he did the Force Unleashed game and he voiced the main character. But he was talking like part of what makes Empire as great as it is because of what happens in Return of the Jedi. It helps resolve because when you take everything you learn that, okay, spoiler warning, but it's a 40-year-old movie, okay?
Yeah.
40 plus year, but Return of the Jedi, I guess, isn't quite 40 yet. But when you take into account Anakin is still in there and he's like, this is my son. And he still cares that is his son. When you take that into account, what you learn in Return of the Jedi and you go back and watch Empire, you understand why he was searching for Luke long before the Emperor goes in the midway through the movie, says, oh, hey, we have a new enemy. You know, that guy who destroyed the Death Star, you know, we need to go deal with that. Vader had already been going out. He knew who that was. Mm-hmm. He knew that was his son. And what is Vader trying to do? Bring him in with him. He wants his son back. He wants to bring his son to the dark side. He does. And as Luke even points out, Return of the Jedi, you couldn't kill me. Could you? You couldn't bring yourself to do it because Darth Vader whooped his butt in Empire Strikes Back. Let's face it.
Well, it's kind of like sending a puppy into like a big dog fight. Like he barely knew anything at all.
Yeah.
And he kind of rushed into it, which is Yoda was like, no, don't go because you're going to. This is not going to be good.
Unfortunate that you rushed to face him. That incomplete was your training.
Yeah. Well, and then you have also not just that, but you've got all the romantic development that happens that, you know, you got, two of the characters, you know, Han and Leia that kind of start. You kind of see that love-hate thing going on. And as it develops, eventually you get to where like, oh, yeah, they like each other. And now they're not together anymore. And
yeah.
Han could have died in the carbonite and, you know, he's been taken by a bounty hunter. I mean, like, there's all this stuff that's kind of left at a climax. You've got all the cool, like, Cloud City stuff that, I mean, blew my mind when I watched it because I was like, oh, my gosh, it's not a planet. Like, it's a planet that floats, and the planet's actually
it's gas. It's
gas. You know?
There are actual real planets like that, though, isn't there?
Yeah,
isn't Jupiter just nothing but a big ball of gas?
Yeah, so you've got your gas giants, which are, like, basically from, yeah, Jupiter on out. So Jupiter and Saturn and Neptune and Uranus and not Pluto, though. Not Pluto. Pluto does not have, like, it's just rock.
Well, Pluto is the dog anyway.
Well, and... anyway, so yeah, Pluto is a rock. It's not gas, but
yeah
they, scientists, and I'm sorry, I'm putting on my scientific hat here because that's fine.
That's what you do. You're a biology teacher. Why are you teaching us planets?
I taught physical science. That was my first teaching job.
Okay.
And so, you know, anyway, so they even suspect there's not even a surface of the planet. They think that it, some of them may just be gas. So they try to send probes in to see, okay, can we get through all of the gas in the atmosphere to get and see if there's something on,
Anyways, okay. But yeah, that's still fine, I guess. But yeah, so Empire, yeah, so Bespin, of course. And that's, they mined stuff apparently from the gas.
Yeah.
It was the Tavana gas mine, I believe they call it. So I wonder what sort of gases they would get. Because, you know, that's one of the things when you get into some of the stuff, when you find out, like, with Beru and Owen, they were... You know, moisture farmers.
Which makes sense because they're in a desert. You want
But I wonder when they'd get the moisture, would they also be able to grow any crops? But you don't really see any crops there on their little farm. But it's interesting. But they would, you know, they would use these devices to get moisture, I guess, out of the air.
Well, they could get also out of the sand. I mean, if there's,
yeah,
you know, understand.
But it's just interesting, weird little details.
Well, I would presume.
But I'm still trying to preview the episode. We're going to go up tangents everywhere.
Like, it's, you said, like, that was.
I know. I was trying to let everybody know what we were going to, because this is one of the things, yes. But so we're also, Cruella came out and we didn't see it, but I can tell you what everybody else thinks.
Honestly, I didn't want to see it.
Like, yep, but I can tell what other people think, so we'll talk about that. Also, what we have here in front of us, I had some fun at a garage sale, and I found some DC Comics games. One is a Justice League strategy game, very complex. We don't have time to learn it, but I found a deck-building type of game. We're going to try to learn how to play it and play it here. As we're also discussing Raiders of the Lost Ark and just whatever stuff, you know, we'll be randomly talking stuff. We're going to try to learn how to play a game. Heather's giving me this look like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mainly was going to do this with Philip, but Philip couldn't be here. So Philip is the big DC comic fan. I think Eric is even the big DC fan. So I'm more of the Marvel guy. But, you know, this could be fun. It's a game. We're going to play a game together and we're going to talk all this fun stuff. But yeah, okay.
It's the figuring out the game part that kind of concerns me. I'm the one that likes to preview and read the directions. And
the thing is, the directions are written as a step by step to walk you through a setup and a turn.
Okay.
So we're going to get through this. This will be just like when I taught you how to play Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
Which we haven't touched on in a long time. But we still played it. But this should be somewhat like that. You know, we're going to be playing as a hero. And we're going to try to, you know, defeat more villains than the other player does, apparently, is what it does.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to play. It'll be great. So, but yes, yeah, so all the fun details of Empire. But yes, as the point of everything we were saying is, like, the Empire is actually made better because of what you learn from Return of the Jedi. And so part of what makes Empire so great is when you take into the knowledge of everything you learn in Return of the Jedi and apply that to the story. And even, you know, Empire does set up a lot of things in Return of the Jedi, because with Han being gone, you know, last thing he was, I love you, I know. And now he's come back and... You know, hey, well, Luke and Leia almost seem to have this weird kinship thing. Then, you know, what have they been up to when I've been gone? Maybe they're kind of back. And so he's kind of in that mentality. So, and that's where, you know, in order to cleanly wrap that up, we have the brother-sister thing that was written in there that to kind of helps nicely wrap up a triangle. So, why you got that weird look on your face?
I don't know. I'm not sure where we're going with the conversation.
But yeah, the point of, like, Empire, why everybody likes Empire, when you really think about it, it's because of Return of the Jedi that makes Empire. I mean, Empire is a great movie, but Return of the Jedi is what, you know, the actor. What I said before, the actor who had played in that game, that's one of the things that he brought in, you know, was saying in a, I think, a Rebel Force radio. And I heard that. I said, you know, he's got a heck of a good point that Empire is good, but it's even better when you take into account everything you learn in Return of the Jedi and you come back and retroactively watch Empire, taking into account that we know that Vader, Anakin was still in there and wanted his son back. And it makes Empire have that much more meaning and make Empire that much of a better of a movie. So, yes.
I still like Return of the Jedi better.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi is a lot more fun. It wraps everything up. But I still put the original as my top, because if not for that one, we wouldn't have the other two.
Yeah, well.
And I watched them all out in a weird order, because I saw the first one multiple times. And then one time Empire was on TV and I tried to watch it. My mom stopped me. So I wasn't actually allowed to watch The Empire Strikes Back for a good long time. I actually saw Return of the Jedi before I actually saw The Empire Strikes Back.
Well, so you know,
I read the book, though, of Empire.
The first Star Wars movie that I saw of any length, and it wasn't even, I don't think it was even the full movie. I think it was just part of it. And that was Return of the Jedi. Like, I watched that. That was my first thing that I saw. And I know that I'd seen certain clips of, like, the first one, you know, A New Hope. But, like, it was kind of like one of those things that my cousin especially knew all about it and, like, just loved all of that. He had all the figures and had, like, the big Darth Vader head, you know.
And he spoiled the entire thing for you, didn't he, before you even saw it, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he told me about Luke and Leia, you know, and the like, and, but I didn't really understand because I didn't understand any of it.
Well, I saw the ending of Return of the Jedi before I'd seen all of it because I was over, you know Shirley. She was giving me a haircut. Yeah, that's Philip's mom when we were younger. And they were watching Return of the Jedi over in the other room, and I could kind of see, so I was kind of watching. And they have that whole scene there at the end. Oh, he's my brother. And I actually from the other room said, what? And they're like, what? You haven't seen this? No, I've never seen. I haven't even seen The Empire. Mm. And they're like, oh, and they stopped the tape right there. Like, so I didn't see the final ending. It's like, oh.
Now, see, I didn't get to see them all until I was in high school. And I don't remember what year it was. But for Christmas, we bought the trilogy, the new, after, like, they had come out of the theaters, and or maybe it was before they did the theaters. I don't remember which one came first, the theater re-release.
It was re-released in the theaters multiple times, but are you talking about the 1997 20-year special edition release?
Maybe.
Because that would have been your last year in high school anyway, 97.
But no, well, I had it before then, though. That's the thing, is like,
well, you had the original versions then.
So I watched that first.
Yeah.
So, but they weren't original. They were tidied up. They were not.
Well, they had the THX editions that came out, and they kind of fixed up the audio and the picture and brought in the THX, but they didn't alter the films. They just, you know.
Yeah, they didn't
add the quality, brought the quality up. Yeah.
Like, anyway, so I saw, and I mean, I binge watched that. And before I even knew what binge watching was, I mean, I just put them in and just watched them all. And I was like, finally, I get to watch all of these because I'd seen little clips and people had talked about it and all that kind of stuff. But actually seeing it through its entirety, I was in high school, which is, I think, kind of a crying shame, being that I'm, you know, of that generation.
Yeah, like, you should have been able to see it.
And I actually saw Indiana Jones, speaking of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, we're going to talk Raiders.
Before,
yeah.
Way before Star Wars.
You know, I had a weird on my way as of watching Indiana Jones. Of course, the Indiana Jones films, you can watch very independently, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch them all. But, like, the first one that I saw was when we rented the Temple of Doom. Because, and I'd seen bits, the only bits of Raiders of the Lost Ark I'd really seen, I'd seen a little bit of the truck chase, but I saw, when I was way too young to see it, the face melting.
Oh.
I didn't know what kind of movies these were, but I seen the face melting. I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to watch these. And then Temple of Doom, we rent it, and we got it all the way up to the hearts being ripped out. And I was like, oh, no, I don't know if I want to watch this. But I came back into the living room, and I watched the rest of it and enjoyed it, and then eventually wanted to watch Raiders. And I did see Raiders and stuff, and before, like, Last Crusade had come out. And by the time Last Crusade was coming in the theaters, I was super excited and wanted to see it, but we didn't get to see it until we rented it. Although there was one time we were watching something at a drive-in. I can't remember what we went to go see, but Philip was with us, and Philip and I kept watching the screen behind us where they were showing The Last Crusade, and we were like, oh, man, well, I wonder what's happening. We couldn't hear it. We're like, oh, man, oh, dude, he just fell off the side of the cliff. Oh, my gosh, what just happened?
This would be better in sound.
Yeah, you know, because we were in between, because it was a longer movie than whatever movie we were there to see, and I can't even think of what movie it was.
You didn't care because you were watching behind you.
But no, it was a decent movie. It was something we were like, oh, okay, but I was like, Mom, you know, Indiana Jones is playing on the other screen. You're like, come on, Mom, why aren't we watching The Last Crusade? Which Last Crusade is my favorite of those. I probably because Sean Connery getting added in there. I love Sean Connery anyway. But them together were just great. I love The Last Crusade. But the fun thing is when you compare, like, when you look at Star Wars and the Indiana Jones movies, this is George Lucas proving that retro has always been cool, because he was basically creating the stuff he liked when he was a kid. He was making new versions of his retro style that he grew up liking. And so here we are, in an era where that retro style is coming back in film and in music and whatever. We, you know, the stuff that we liked as a kid is coming back with a new He-Man series, two new He-Man series actually this summer. I mean, it doesn't go away. The stuff we liked as a kid, we bring it back as when we're adults, we bring it back.
Well, now,
and George Lucas, I think, showed us how that works.
Yeah, so you were talking about, like, the Indiana Jones, which one did you saw first? And this was another one where, like, my cousins always knew, like, they had cable. So, like,
I had cable too.
They knew, but I never knew because we were on the free channels and we didn't even get all the free channels. Like, there were two free channels that, like, we were missing. And so we could get one of them, like, 62. I mean, if you're not in Kansas City, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But yeah,
it was a syndication type of channel.
And some days we couldn't even get 62. So, and 41 was straight out. Like, we were stuck with, like, you know, the basic news channels and, like, public TV.
Woohoo.
You know.
Well, then, you know, you still got some decent stuff. Because back in the day, you know, you could see a lot on those channels.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But your selections were limited. But, yeah. With 62, though, so were you, I can't remember, was that Disney Afternoon or was that Ninja Turtles and everything else on 62?
62, we were able to get 62, I think, when we moved. We got 41.
Oh, yeah. I guess by then you might have had both channels.
Yeah. When we moved to Kearney, we were able to get all of them, which was strange because we were further out from the city. Then we weren't, you know, and when we were in the city in Kansas City, we couldn't get some of the channels. But then when we moved out, we could
62.
Get
I don't remember. I think came along a little later. I remember 41. Yeah, but 41 also had all the good stuff, like in the mornings and the afternoons. That's where I got to watch the Flintstones and the Jetsons and Woody Woodpecker on Channel 41.
Okay, I have to
go Andy back Griffith
and edit myself. 62. We did get 62 from time to time because that's where I saw Chilly Willy, and that's where like Woody Woodpecker show where they have units of variety.
But normally it was Channel 41 that had Woody Woodpecker when I was really little, though.
Well, see, no, I was
Woody
older.
Woodpecker. I do remember going over to Channel 62 back by middle school age.
But yeah, 62 is where...
And I was still watching Woody Woodpecker in middle school. That's right, doggone it.
Yeah.
So I love Woody Woodpecker.
Anywho, back to Indiana Jones. My first one I think I saw clips of was probably Temple of Doom, the heart scene. Because once again, my cousins, like, they had cable, so they, like, told me all about, oh, this thing, like, he rips his heart out. And I was like, what? You know, again, like, not understanding the whole thing, but that was the thing that they took away. And, you know, and so anyway. Yeah,
and that's what launched PG-13, which PG-13 should have been launched from Raiders with the face melting. Holy cow.
Yeah, that was a little traumatic. But by the time I got around to, like, watching it, I was kind of like you, but at the same time, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can tell that that's kind of a model, you know, like not like watching, there's like a horror movie that we caught on cable at my cousin's house, always a cousin's house. Anyway, because that's where you get in trouble, right? You
go to
your cousin's house. Anyway, so they had like this horror movie dolls that traumatized me for life. That's probably why I don't like dolls. Like, I was always a stuffed animal person, but when the dolls come to life and like start like killing people, like, I just even though they're like, oh no, it's ketchup, and I'm just like, no, I'm traumatized now.
That ain't ketchup, it's just fake blood, but still.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, we watched some stuff as kids, like, we just happened upon it because the cousin saw, hey, you need to watch this, like, this is and I'm just like, no, can't do it. Anyway, Raiders, actually, my favorite is Temple of Doom, which is kind of, I guess, a dark selection. But that's the one that I don't know, it's different.
That is the weird thing, is that's my least favorite.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know why I like it so much, but
there is a fourth one. I guess it's less than Raiders of the Lost Ark, but sometimes we deny the fourth one exists.
I don't count that one because
although we did get, that's the first one we got to go to together, and it was on our that was like our 5-year anniversary or 10-year anniversary.
I bet it was probably 5-year.
Yeah, I think it was our 5-year, and maybe
I bet it was around in there.
Yeah, somewhere. I think it was a 5-year anniversary when that movie came out, and so we actually left the next day to go up to Omaha and stuff. Mm-hmm.
But so, we got that one.
Got
like,
it on video.
Like Star Wars, Sam's Club. Thank you, Sam's Club, because that's where we got the Star Wars. But we got Indiana Jones before that in a set of three. And I didn't binge watch those like Star Wars, but I did work my way through like all of them and like would watch them. I mean, I watched those so many times, and that was like one of my, I can't sleep, so I'm gonna go downstairs and like put in Indiana Jones and, you know, like watch it.
And that'll help you sleep.
No, it actually, I did. I would watch it and then I would like go to sleep, you know? Yeah.
Well, I actually had I didn't have a bought copy. I would make copies from a friend of Star Wars. And so I had like one of the big tapes and I would copy the entire trilogy onto one tape. And I would actually just play that tape when I was going to bed. I would just play the tape and let it play through. And then, you know, when I was kind of like groggy and I kind of half wake up, I would turn it off real quick. And then like, let me go back to sleep. Then I'd have to pick up wherever I left off, you know, next night, you know?
So I guess let me put an age on this. Like, I was not little bitty. Like, we did not get a proper VHS player until I was probably like 10 or 11. Okay, so this was like post 10, 11, like, you know, teens again.
Well, I'm talking to me. I was in high school when I had finally got a trilogy copy that I had to get on my own because I didn't have money to buy it on my own. Otherwise, I'd have done it.
Yeah. Well, we talked
about... But the THX is what I got copies of on a side video cassette.
Yeah, we had a...
I borrowed it.
You know, our membership to Sam Club, and that's when it was like members only. And so
still is.
We talked mom into getting the trilogy for us when, you know, and probably she probably only agreed because we were older and like, you know, because mom was pretty good about being like, no, none this, no that. But we did. Well, I'm going to save that for another day. We talked my aunt into getting it, renting an R-rated movie for us.
What was it?
It was Tarzan.
Oh, that one Tarzan, the Bo Derek and and Christopher Lambert was Tarzan in that
yes,
one.
Yes, okay, but here let me explain. We saw it on it was on TV.
Edited.
Which would have been edited.
Right.
So we as kids didn't understand that. So when we went to rent the movie, I was like, oh yeah, Mom and Dad list, and my aunt is looking at me like, your parents let you like watch this, because again, I didn't know anything about ratings. I didn't know, you know, just like, oh yeah, I saw this on TV, like it's Tarzan, woo.
Woo, all right.
Yeah, then when we finally watched it, I was kind of like, oh, I didn't realize like the natives were naked, and, oh, she's topless, and oh, this was not the movie I thought I saw on TV. And I felt so bad, because I'm like, man, I feel like I totally misrepresented my parents by being like, oh yeah,
we saw it on TV, like, but yeah,
R-rated movies.
Yeah. Whoopsie. Whoopsie, yeah. Whoopsie.
Well, again, like, we were kids. We didn't know, you know. And this is where, I guess, I kind of have a, I don't know. It's a little bit of a hot button issue with what gets put on TV with little eyes watching.
Yeah.
Because kids don't understand. And there are things that, even in my childhood in the 80s, that us kids came across that we should not have come across. Because cable was available, you know, it's unedited. I mean, like, they're just...
Yeah.
And today it's worse, like, you know...
Yeah, R-rated movies are, like, almost PG-13 now.
Yeah, and so I...
We're just with a little bit more language and everything, because, yeah, if you watch, you know, Rambo First Blood Part 2, it's seems really mild now. But I remember when I was a kid, I was like, oh, my gosh, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, now it's like, I've seen worse than that in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about protecting little eyes from things that they're not ready to deal with.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but yet I know some little eyes that they watched, you know, Friday the 13th movies when they were little, and they just love that kind of thing. And I don't understand that at all. I'm not into that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, I like a good scary story, but I'm not into slasher blood and gore stuff. That's never been my thing. I just don't enjoy it. It's not
Freddy
fun.
Freddy Krueger was the thing that we always... Now, I'd never seen a Freddy Krueger movie.
Of course, we're going way off the rails. I don't know when I'm going to go this direction.
Well, but anyway, but because other my cousins again had seen them, we had, you know, we made up stories about Freddy Krueger, and you know, when you're sleeping over and you're like, oh, Freddy Krueger's gonna come and get you, like, I'd never
whoever seen falls asleep first is gonna be the first to die.
Anyway, so you know that, but anyway,
yeah. So, but yeah, so Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I, the fun thing with the 48th anniversary is there's always some company. And let's see if this is related to like any well, it's Centennial Today Hollywood Spotlight. I don't know who actually what the publisher was, but I found like a 40th anniversary magazine. Also, you know, and I should have brought it where we're recording at, but I got those big tabletop. I can't think of the name of the company, but they have all the information. But they treat like Indiana Jones as a real character and all this different stuff. But the character has permeated video games, comics. There was a Marvel comic actually for a long time. I actually have one or two, I think, Indiana Jones comics. And the other weird thing that was fun, we had... Because everybody remembers Choose Your Own Adventure books. There was an Indiana Jones book we had.
Oh,
now, you didn't get to choose for Indiana. You were playing Indiana's nephew or niece or whatever. He was supposed to be like your uncle or cousin or something like that. You were related. And you were going to go spend some time with him for the summer. He didn't know that you were going to get caught up in an adventure with an Indiana Jones.
Of course.
So, but it was kind of fun. It's like, I'm going on an adventure with Indiana Jones and a Choose Your Own Adventure. And so... Yeah, that was fun. And I think there was a whole series of those, but we only had one. And I think it was called The Fate of Atlantis or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that was one. That might have been the name of one of the video games. I don't know.
I'm trying to think if I came across one of those one time.
That'd be fun to find them and read them now.
Like, I was much older, I think, when I came across something like that. Usually the ones of those choose your endings, it was like, it was fantasy stuff. Like, one of my favorite ones was like a choose your adventure. You had a dragon and like you had to avoid being barbecued by the dragon. And, you know, anyway... all the, you know, high fantasy type of stuff. But yeah,
I think Dungeons & Dragons had a few of those. There was even a Lone Wolf book series that actually was choose your own adventure, but you had to use dice at certain things and have combat. And then if you survived the combat, you flip to this page. If you didn't survive the combat, you go to this page and find out how you died.
Oh.
So I almost completed a book. As David was reading it all out loud. My brother was reading it all out loud, and I was making the decisions and everything. So we were kind of doing it together and going through the book. And I almost finished the story, and then final boss fight. And, the way it's like, oh, well, you died. You had to start over. And though I cheated with Choose Your Own Adventure, I would keep my finger on the choice.
If I
look, oh, that ended the story badly, we're going to go back and I'm going to choose the other option. Because I wanted to have a complete story with a happy ending. So I would keep going. Although I did have one book that only had one ending that you get to. Those Time Machine was that they were Choose Your Own Adventure from the same company. But I had one. It was called Civil War Secret Agent. And your mission was to find Harriet Tubman.
Hmm.
But what would happen if you're making a wrong choice, you could get caught in a time loop, but then you'd keep end up rereading the same things until you finally figured out the right way to maneuver through a certain thing and follow the right leads. And so you'd learn your history. It was actually educational. You would learn a lot of history and stuff like that. So that was, you couldn't die in that one, but you could get stuck in basically a time loop. And I did it when I first went through it. I kept getting, it's like, dang it, I keep ending up in the same spot. I can't figure out where I'm going wrong here. So
I feel like we need to get like a choose your ending book and like do one on the show or something like that. Like just
we have some upstairs.
Oh,
actually, still
through them though.
I've read through some. I don't have all the books that I had when I was young. I wish I still had the old books. They actually have been making like board game choose your own adventure style board games. So I think they're like cards, and you can actually you do it as a group, and you can weave your own story together and stuff like that. So they have ways to play it because it never dies. It's like George Lucas said, he brought everything he loved, the serials he liked as a kid, and he brought them back into movie theaters as full films, and now all the books we like to enjoy and all the games are back in their own way. Even with a DC comic deck building game that we're looking at here that we're going to attempt to play here.
But you were talking about like the choose your own ending cheating. Like I would try to go through it like honestly at first. And then when I inevitably would die a horrible death because somehow
you really did die horribly in those books too. You'd get eaten by alligators.
Like
or...
I said, barbecued by
you have a kitty cat trying to climb up the chair.
We're here in the kitchen, so kitties like to.
So we have a table to play on.
Well, and it's the begging hour, isn't it?
It's 4 o'clock. That's when they start begging for their dinner.
Yeah, so 2 hours before food time, they got to beg. Anyway, so then I'd go to the back and actually read through the endings and, like, work my way backwards.
Oh, my goodness. You really cheated.
I wanted a happy ending. Like, I couldn't stand. I mean, I did. Like I said, I would go through it honestly. Like, I actually would go through it more than once. Like,
because you can have different adventures every time.
Yeah, go through and, I would, like you said, put your finger here and, like, okay, see, where does this decision lead? Okay, now I'm going to go back here and I'm going to go to this decision. So, like, I mean, I'd end up reading the whole book, but, like, I would try to figure out, like, okay, which one was the happiest ending and go from, eventually that's what I would do.
And usually you'd have an initial choice at the beginning that could take you on a completely separate adventure, and then you'd have multiple choices along the way. I just tried to avoid anything that had a the end that was a bad end, and I'm like, all right, let me go to the other choice. And occasionally though you'd have where both choices were a bad end, and I'm like, okay, I need to back up further, apparently you better start over.
Yeah, there would be times that like you'd
already made a bad decision and you were just going to go off to whatever horrible thing was going to happen.
Like the choice would be like, take the left tunnel, take the right tunnel, and you don't know which one. You take the left tunnel, you died. I mean,
and the right tunnel's, you died. I should never have come into this cave.
Yeah, I mean, it was,
if the alligators didn't get you, the natives would stab you in the head.
Yeah, I mean, it was, there was no leading you. Like, some of them were easy to decide, like, I don't want to do that. Like,
do you want to follow this person?
There was one
that they knew they were following you. You turn around and you're captured. Maybe your parents will see you alive again, but probably not.
Well, there was one that I got that was like a Christian, choose your, ending kind of thing, choose your adventure. And it was really kind of too easy because it was like, go with your friends drinking or stay home. Like, okay, I wonder what I'm supposed to do. Like, it was too easy just because I was like, no, I'm a good girl. Like, no, that's not. So I didn't really care for that book because that was a little too easy to figure out. Like, so the ones that were, like I said, the one that was my favorite, that was like a fantasy thing. I actually checked it out, I think, from the library more than once. So that's what we did. We went to the library. We didn't really buy a lot of books, but we checked them out from the library.
My grandma made sure I had a library card because she had me go and try to read Robinson Crusoe, I think, from there, which I never finished it. It was, that was a bit too much for me at the age.
Yeah, that's
But Yeah.
I've read through it, but it's kind of a, it's not a kid's
book. Yeah, and it drags on and stuff until it doesn't get good until like late on. But we haven't done some of our regular features that we would normally do on the show, being what have you been watching, like on Disney Plus or whatever, which, you know, I don't think I've gotten to watch anything. Yeah, you know, like there's a new episode of Bad Batch, but I'm still enjoying the Bad Batch, and you're watching anime.
I am. I'm like addicted to Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
They got anime on there that I, some of it that I've not seen before, some of it you can't get like through Netflix or, you know, any of the usual places that, you know, that typically will have some. So that, but they have everything that like Netflix has or HBO. Well, no, they don't have the Studio Ghibli stuff, so yeah. They don't have that. But
well, a lot of the Studio Ghibli is now on HBO Max. Yeah. They have a lot of it.
So that I like.
I think Disney Plus has some of it.
No, it hasn't shown up there
yet. Hasn't really? Because mm-hmm. Because they released some of them here in the States. Yeah. They should be able to
they
show it.
They released them, but they don't. I don't think they just. They just have certain distribution rights, but not. Huh. They don't actually own those things. So
yeah.
But I've enjoyed the HBO being on HBO because I got to see things like. Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind, which is supposed to be a classic anime. Like
I thought I bought you a copy of that, though.
No. You got me, like, The Wind Also Rises.
Oh, well, okay.
A little drama kind of thing. And so, anyway, but yeah, I've been able to see, and you got me the sequel of, there's two stories where it's got a cat.
Yeah, but I got The Cat Returns or something.
Yeah, so The Cat Returns, but then there's one, it's about, it doesn't have a cat name, and it's like, Where the Heart Lies or something like that. And that's actually the first one where the little cat statue shows up and the girl creates a story for the cat statue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so then the second one, the cat statue actually comes to life. And then anyway, so I'm probably goofed up the name. But anyway, so I've been able to see some Studio Ghibli stuff that I haven't quite gotten up enough gumption to watch some of the more dramatic ones that I know kind of have a not so great ending, like it's a sad ending.
So yeah, I prefer fun and stuff. Like the last thing I was watching, and we haven't finished watching all of Fairy Tale. There's a lot of seasons of Fairy Tale, but Crunchyroll has a lot more than Netflix does.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah, Fairy Tale.
So Fairy Tale's been fun. I haven't watched it in a while.
I've been enjoying. So there's a manga called Fruit Basket that I've read through the manga, but the anime, the first one that they put out actually stopped. About the halfway point, because they stopped producing. But then I guess it was so popular that they've redone it, so they went up to that point, and now they're actually going to finish it. So I only get one episode, you know, a week. So when about Monday comes, I'm, yay, let's watch the next one because it's getting close to the end. It's so
okay.
It's so exciting. But in the meantime, I've been watching.
I think you were watching One Piece actually in the original language, even with subtitles.
Yeah, because I couldn't. Well. Honestly, for the voice actors, I find it more bearable to listen to the Japanese than listening to the English on that one.
On that one. Okay, it's like, sorry, local voice actors here in the States.
I'm sorry. I like this sub better than the dub for that particular...
For that one in particular.
For that particular one.
So, I hope none of y'all are listening to this show that did the voices for that, because...
I don't know. It is... So, here's the thing. It is a super goofy. If you've not seen One Piece, it is super goofy, over the top. Like, it is. It's just so over the top. If they're excited about something, like, it is over the top. If they're flabbergasted, they're
drawing. That's kind of how anime works, though. Everything is over the top. I mean,
everything. Like, this take.
That's why Philip doesn't like anime.
And so this one actually, it spoofs on some United States, like American pop culture stuff. So they had a bad guy that was like a combination of Steven Tyler and Michael Jackson, and like he even like would walk backwards, like he moonwalked backwards.
Oh, geez.
And he had like the shades and the flashy clothes, but he had like the very rock star persona with the long hair, like Steven Tyler, the big lips. Like it was a combination of those things. The current episode that I just watched, that so they're gonna have like a boxing match with the bad pirate that's trying to like steal their crews or whatever. And so the captain comes out with a big fro, and like they, you know, like, oh, I'm the big, you know, like the fro has power, you know? Like,
okay.
Yeah. And so
Don King reference, perhaps, I don't know. Well, Don King really didn't have a fro, but he had big hair.
But yeah, it was like, you know, the power of the fro. It was like, it's the manly thing, you know? And of course, in Japanese, people can't do froze. Like,
At least we've never seen anybody with it. Yeah, yeah, they usually don't have curly hair unless they've got some mixed race, I suppose.
It's usually it's not curly. So, and I've noticed in some of these, on some of these animes, that there is, like, it seems, at least that's showing up in the anime, there's kind of like, there's certain features that, like, are African that they think are pretty cool, like the fro, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I think this is kind of...
Well, they like to import a lot of different cultures and enjoy all kinds of different cultures, mm-hmm. apparently in Japan. So they embrace all things and enjoy all things. We could learn a lot from that. They just have fun with stuff.
And there are some things that they put in there that are definitely, like, Japanese that it goes over my head, but... but anyway, no, I that's what I've been watching. So,
So then what have we been playing? Now here's, this is what reminded me to get into this section. You mentioned that, I'm a good girl. And you were saying, and when you go through the books, well, you know, I'm a good, decent person. And I have mentioned over the last few weeks, I've been trying to play Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh.
That game doesn't want to let me be the nice guy. And I've seen some game footage where people's meters popped up and they had pushed over to the nice light side. So it's possible. Mm-hmm. But every time I try to do some good, something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. So here's, and I'm going to make a video. This will be up on the thing. I haven't gotten to put a video up on the gaming channel in a while because I've been busy. But I was riding along and I hear a woman screaming. And there's this woman on the back of a horse. This guy is riding hard and she's screaming, "Help me, help me." So I'm like, "Here I come to save the day." And I gun the guy down and I go and I get, I managed to knock over the horse and everything. And she's like, "Well, I was better off with him." And she's fussing. And I go over and the same button to pick her up also turned out to be the same button. Or no, wait, the same button to untie her turned out to be the same button for Arthur to stomp her in the head. And I went over and it said untie and I went to hit it, but it changed right as I got up there and bam, he kicks her right in the head.
Oh my, that is terrible.
And
I'm
like,
thing.
And it would not let me untie her. I mean, because I picked her up. I was like, "Oh, well, let me take you over here and see if I can untie you if I get in a different position." It wouldn't let me untie her. So I put her on the back of a horse and says, "Well, let me get you out here somewhere safe." So I ride with her over to there's this big ranch kind of near the beginning of the game where you also have your fence where you have, you know, if you happen to get any ill-gotten gains or anybody that I have to kill, you know, I can go loot them. And if they, look, you had a pocket watch. I'm going to go sell this to my fence because that's how you get your money.
To your fence?
Yes, I have a fence. A guy will fence stuff, you know. So there's a fence.
Okay.
That's what he does. But I go over. I don't realize the fence is right there and sees me take the woman off the horse and I set her over on a porch. It wouldn't let me untie her. It's like, okay, well, she'll be okay there. They, of course, see that and suddenly have a witness to kidnapping. Now, who is my witness? My fence. And he's booking it. And it just messed everything up. Now, I've gotten into a habit, though. Now, I save often before stuff goes down because I'm like, all right, I'm going to reload that last save before it went stupid on me. Now, that also
so
has
terrible.
Got... Yeah, you, I can't be the good guy. It always finds a way to wreck it for me. And even when I'm doing something cool, it wrecked it for me this week because... And this, you've seen me. I watch a lot of these videos where there's funny physics where it's game fails, where the game itself fails.
Yeah.
And it's funny to watch, but it's terrible sometimes when it happens to you. So there was another point. I was leaving the town of Valentine. I was going to go. There was a mission over on this other side of this bridge. Now, the main thing in this game, you have the O'Driscoll gang, who is your rival gang. They're kind of the bad guys. Well, I'm riding along, and I go up on this bridge, and the O'Driscolls are set up on this bridge. And they're like, "You ain't getting across this bridge. This is our bridge." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I just want to cross." "Well, we ain't going to let you cross." And I'm like, "All right, cool. Well, Arthur, what we're going to do, we're going to take our horse over here. We're going to get off the horse. We're going to save our game back here because we're about to throw down. And if I don't live through the fight, at least I can load up the save. Because if you die, you lose money." And I was trying to get enough money to pay off the $60 bounty I have. Which is part of before the kidnapping.
The lady?
No, $60 was a story mission.
Oh.
I'm being nice, but I do a story mission, part of the actual story of the game, and I end up with a $60 bounty on my head. Mm-hmm. With the kidnapping thing, it went up to $65, and I was just trying to go and fence some things when the woman had come by that I was trying to save. I was on my way to fence some items so I could get the money to go and pay off my bounty. But of course, after it all went down, my fence ran off. I couldn't fence the items because he was a witness to my quote unquote kidnapping, which was actually a rescue.
That woman's life was only worth $5.
This is all right, like 1890s. Okay. Well, I mean, money's a different thing. We don't have the inflation we have right now. Okay, come on.
Well, no, I understand, but still.
It was $60 for the gunfight I'd gotten into the middle of town, but I knew I couldn't go through Valentine until I paid off that bounty. But this is after I finally paid off the bounty, but now I want to go to a mission and I need to go through Valentine. So anyways, I get to the other side of Valentine. As I've said before, now I've saved my game before I'm going to go to the bridge and get in this fight. Mm-hmm. And I have a sniper rifle that I just happen to get. So I get behind a tree and I bop, 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 and I gun down all these O'Driscolls. I'm like, well, cool. So I go over to the other side of the bridge, and the, you know, the prompt on this thing says, hey, if you steal that, if you take this wagon, you can fence it. And it's, oh, it's an O'Driscoll wagon, probably full of their ill-gotten gains. I don't mind taking it from the other bad guys. So I get on this thing and I turn it around and I'm riding back through and I'm going to head up and I'm going to take this over to my fence. That's great. Now, as I'm riding along the trail, I come across another wagon and I'm going to go and pass him on the right. They decide to make a right turn right into me. Bad game physics takes over, and my cart and everything is flipping and flying through the air miles away. So I'm like, okay, cool. I have a save file. Let me just load that up, and we'll do this all over again. It's a little frustrating that I have to go and do the cart thing again. Of course, when I get in there, they're not at the bridge anymore.
Oh.
But I did find that they had a camp over there. I'm like, I'm going to raid this O'Driscoll camp. And I did. I went and gunned them down, and I took all their stuff anyway, but I couldn't go and take a wagon to go fence it so I get the extra money. But I've got all this. I've saved all this video. I'm going to put this out because I'm having a love-hate relationship with this game. Because yeah, it is fun, but
I don't like it. Even from the quote funny videos that happens, like, this is not a game I would ever want to play. It looks terrible.
Well, it is the same people who make Grand Theft Auto, but this is kind of fun because it's like you're living in a Western. But as I've said previously, I wanted to be John Wayne in this game, and they're making me be Clint Eastwood. Nothing against Clint Eastwood, but Clint Eastwood's style was very different from John Wayne.
Wow.
And I like John Wayne movies, okay?
Yeah.
I want to be the good guy. I'm a white hat. I want to be a white hat cowboy. I want to be Wyatt Earp, and they're making me be one of the, you know, the cowboys. And I feel like I should have a red sash, be running for my life, because you tell him he's coming and hell's coming with him, okay? Unfortunately, that's the character I'm having to play. But it's just fun. It's like a Western simulation, you know? So it's fun. So it's like, oh, this is fun. But then stuff like this happens, you're like, come on! And I've even kind of learned how to play poker a little bit because, you know, I'm trying to win money there. And there's a lot of fun things you can do.
Games.
Yeah. Okay, it's the other thing we're playing. We're still playing Animal Crossing. Yep. And here's where I have a funny story. So I was talking to a coworker. And his daughter plays Animal Crossing, and they went out for dinner. He doesn't get to see his daughter that often because of divorce or whatever. But he was with his daughter going and you know, having dinner. And she went on, he said, for about like half an hour rant that all she ever does is catch sea bass.
And that's become a joke with us.
Yeah, so it's become a joke because it's true. You get stuck catching the same stuff, and you never get new fossils or new animals to go in there. But then June came in. And suddenly it's summertime, it's a new month, and new animals are out there. And also I've learned, something we weren't doing, going into Tom Nook and saying, what should I do? And he says, hey, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get KK Ryder to have a concert, but we need more people to move on to the island. And he starts coaching you through the next parts of the story missions of the game. So like, there's a whole new level of things we've been able to play. So this is the game that will never end for us.
Well, I have just liked that June has opened up like the sharks.
Yes, we caught some great white sharks and nurse sharks.
Ever since I was a kid, I have loved
whale sharks, not nurse sharks.
I have loved sharks. Even when I was a kid, I was like, you know, watching Jean Cousteau, you know, on public.
You mean Jacques Cousteau?
Jacques Cousteau. What did I say?
You said Jean Cousteau.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we came from different areas because I saw Jaws and I did not like sharks because I saw Jaws. And that's probably why I never learned to swim.
Well, okay. So, yes, I had not seen Jaws, but I was the kid that when we crossed the Missouri River to go see my grandmother in North Missouri, like I was afraid. I'm like, there's sharks down there. I'm looking for sharks, you know, because I was afraid of sharks. But I was also kind of like this fear, like, cool, because I see the, you know, the people in the cages with the sharks, and I'm like, I wouldn't be in a cage with a shark. Like,
no.
You know, I still want to do that, although I have to say, as an adult, and I guess reality being more prevalent than when I was a kid, it does kind of scare me a little bit, because
not to mention you give me a flipping heart attack. If you want to get out in a boat in the ocean, we want to go somewhere, or somebody even that I went to college with went somewhere where they had dolphins, like, following the boat.
And
they
go, yeah.
Sorry about that on the microphone, y'all. But that would be so awesome.
Well, and
dolphins, or maybe go and see whales.
Whales, yeah.
I'd be cool with that.
Whale watching.
I'm not going to go shark watching. Although, all right, we did get to pet a shark at the zoo, before. They have a touch tank.
But, yeah, I still would like to get it
in a
cage and watch the sharks, like, you know.
Nope.
hung around and all that stuff.
Nope, because so. I have seen Josh. And I that clip from the movie is like, so you go into cage. Cage goes in the water. Shark's in the water. Our shark. Farewell to do what you're from the fair Spanish ladies or whatever it is. Farewell to thee. I'm like, that's exactly what goes in my head. You want to get in a cage? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I will have a heart attack and die on the boat while you're in the cage.
Well, if it was little sharks.
Little shark could still bite your hand off.
No.
No. Okay. Yeah. Not
give me one of those little suits of armor and no shark cage and I'll go to the bottom and like feed the little sharks as they come by and you know.
It'd be more fun to play with the dolphins.
Anyway, no, I agree. I would like to see the dolphins. I'd like to see whales. I'd like to see manatees. I'd like to see all that. Yeah,
manatees would be fun too.
I really, really want to see manatees.
Yeah.
I love manatees.
We need to go to Walt Disney World. They have manatees.
I don't need to go to Walt Disney World. There's,
oh, yes,
there's other places that, I know, have but that would be a fun place. Manatees in a higher concentration than Walt Disney.
It would be fun though.
So anyway,
it would be fun.
But yeah, no, the sharks have been amazing. Although I got to say the coelacanth? Yeah, it was a coelacanth that I caught and it vibrated my...
Oh, we're talking back into the game again, by the way.
Sorry, we're back to where we started from. Anyway, it vibrated so much, it really scared me, honestly, because I was like, holy, what in the world have I caught on this thing, you know? And then the whale shark and then...
Yeah, and it's funny is when you pull... I haven't caught a hammerhead. You caught a hammerhead now, too?
I caught a hammerhead and I've caught a sawtooth shark, but it's got the bill that's got the saw on it.
I haven't caught any of that.
I've been catching.
But I caught the great white, the first big one that I caught, and that flipped me out because it was huge. And it landed, this huge thing come flying out of the water when I'm fishing and lands and I'm catching. I'm like, what in the world?
Well, see, the first shark I caught was a whale shark, and that was the one
where I was like,
my character is hidden by this giant shark.
Yes, yeah, so I caught a shark. So, and I'm keeping one as a pet on the island, and he's in his little tank where he can't move. It's unfortunate. I think it looks so sad. I'm like, oh.
And see, this
is it's not a real shark. It's a video game shark.
I know, and this is where I don't even like
it. I swear one of the cats is playing with the broom. I see it wiggle every once in a while.
You probably rub it on it.
Yep.
Gotta rub on it. Anyway, so this is where I guess me and Jeremy differ. I feel like I don't want to pillage these islands entirely, so I don't catch the butterflies.
Yeah, she's playing conservationist. I'm playing Animal Crossing.
And there's certain I love frogs, so I catch frogs. I've got one to give to the museum and one to put in my house, but I don't sell the frogs. I don't sell the tadpoles. I put the tadpoles back. I'm sorry. I just can't help it.
Because you realize when you put it back, it just goes out of existence.
I know
it no longer exists.
I think it's back in the water. It has disappeared. It's I caught an arowana.
It has been taken out of the RAM and it no longer exists until it is loaded up from the cartridge again.
Anyway, I caught an arowana and when I took it to the museum and Blathers is all like, oh, this is a really endangered fish.
I still haven't caught one of those or this other shark thing that's supposed to come out in the rain that you mentioned. I haven't caught any of this stuff.
It's not a shark.
Well, you said it was huge, though, and it scared you because it was a big vibration.
It was huge, but it's not as huge as the sharks.
Well, you're catching you even caught a marlin, and I had never got to catch a marlin.
Well, that one likes the piers, too. But see, you caught the mahi-mahi off my island, and I haven't even seen one. That was the first time I'd ever seen it, and you caught it off my island.
Yeah, you mean?
Same thing with the dragonfly. Never saw that banded dragonfly until you caught one, and I was like, oh, there's different.
Now they're everywhere.
Now? So...
At least you got to catch a firefly when they popped out. Because I'm one that told you, I woke up in the middle of the night and said, okay, I can't sleep. Let me jump in here. And fireflies are everywhere. And I was excited.
Have you caught a mosquito?
Yes, okay. I caught a mosquito.
Yeah, and there's still some
I've catch a lot of mosquitoes
on the trees that I've
I still haven't seen. Catch. I haven't seen any of them. I've seen the drone beetles, which basically I call June bugs when I see one in real life.
Yeah, they're probably a June bug.
I think that's what they are. But there's some other beetle you said you saw, and I haven't seen a single one of them.
Yeah, there's a stag beetle that I was able to catch, and there's another one. It looks, from what I can see, because I was trying to go around my beach chair to catch it, and it freaked out and buzzed off.
Scaring the bugs away.
It looked like a Goliath stag beetle or something like that.
That'd be fun.
So anyway, you got to fish at the night. All these things that I catch is always...
Usually dark. I'm in bed because I get up early. I get up really early, so...
I know, but that's when I'm finding them is I'm catching them.
No, it's not fair.
Yeah.
I can't stay awake that late.
I mean, and usually. The stuff that you're... Like the coelacanth, you're supposed to be able to catch it on rainy days in the sea.
And every time it's raining, even if it rains on your island, I go to your island in the rain. It's maybe I'll catch one here because you caught one here.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Not happening.
It still only happens in the evening.
Figures.
Although I do have to say I had a moment where I was trying to catch that mahi-mahi after you caught it. I was like, okay, off the dock. Let me sprinkle the food around. And then I caught a great white and I was like, that's kind of concerning.
that you threw bait in a great way. The thing that concerns me, and the thought that I've had, is you go out swimming into the water to go collect sea life. I'm like, wait a minute, we've now established there are great white sharks in these waters, and I'm going swimming in them. What in the heck?
Well, I know. I think that too could, well, and hammerheads will eat people too. Like they've attacked people. But like, yeah, when I was, you know, swimming for like, you know, clams and whatever, you know, the, not clams, but the, like, you know, the sea grapes and
all kinds of sea anemones and all this fun stuff in the water.
Dive for sea creatures and stuff. I thought, oh, this was in my head. I was like, oh, there's a fence around, so there's no sharks. But then June came, and I had that same thought. I was like,
look, a great white shark was in the water when I fish.
And I've had, because when I go to an island, like I use my little Nook Miles and I go to the island, I will go through the island first and pick up all the things and I'll do the fish and do all that before I get in the water. So diving is one of the last things that I do. And no sharks, no sharks on the beach, no sharks, any of that kind of stuff. I go swimming, diving, and then I see a shark. And I was like, you were not there before I got in the water.
Well, because it generates it when it's time.
I know.
And you can see the sharks with their shadows have a fin on them.
They have a fin.
But now we know it could also just be a sucker fish.
Yeah. If it seems like if it's the daytime, it's going to be a sucker fish or a whale shark. Like that seems to be, although more often sucker fish.
Well, thing is, though, if you were to happen to swim towards the shadow of that shark, you'd scare it away.
Yeah.
Because that's the way this game works. It is a game, after all, and it is aimed for children to be able to play and actually even learn a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the museum is actually fairly educational.
Yeah.
You can learn about some of the animals. Yeah. It's very light, but it's a game. But still, I mean, this is a thing that they meant for kids to enjoy and parents to enjoy with their kids. And we don't have any kids, and we're still just having fun playing with it.
I like insects. I like bugs. I like creepy crawlies. So As Blathers is like, ew, yuck, bugs, that bothers me because I don't want kids to be ew, yuck, bugs because bugs are good.
And he was even freaked out by butterflies. So, but he's just a character. But I kind of have fun freaking him out because you can give him a group of things at once to donate. But if I have bugs to turn in, I like to turn them in one at a time just so he can freak out.
And I make him tell me what they are about.
Yep. So he can freak out the whole time. Yep. And I love waking his butt up in the middle of the day when because it's funny. He goes, who? And he freaks out when you wake him up. It's like, yeah, that's nocturnal guy. That's funny. I like messing with Blathers. I like Blathers.
So. Although I gotta say, like, I hit that B button to be like, okay, yakety smackety.
Yeah, we have learned how you can skip that, but especially during stamp days. Like, okay, I've done the stamp thing. I understand how it works. You don't have to tell me this every day, Blathers. Come on.
I mean, I feel like, you know, when you're turning in your cards, you sit there for 5 minutes, boop, 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 you know, just hitting B.
Yeah, hit the B button until we clean out the text.
Yeah.
So that's what we've been playing now. In movies, we have not gone out to a movie, but so Cruella opened to a $26 million. It was a $200 million budget movie, but that's still a pretty good opening. It was behind The Quiet Place 2, which we never saw the first one. Now, I don't intend to see it, but I may watch it when it comes on Disney Plus for free. Right now, it's on Disney Plus at premiere, and if you have a large family, $30 is fine, I guess. Because you actually are saving money compared to going to a theater. I'd rather go to a theater, but there's only just the two of us usually if we go to a theater. But here's what I'm gathering from the opinions I've gotten, and mostly I've seen a lot of positive. But the positives I've seen one guy who had very low expectations. Like, well, you know, because I had low expectations, I was actually able to enjoy it because it was better than I thought it would have been. Then I've seen the people who were just super excited and they were just going to enjoy it because I've learned a lot about Disney fans, and there are Disney fans that just nothing Disney can do no wrong. They'll just love everything. They just eat it up, and that's fine. That's fine. You go drink that Kool-Aid and have fun. You go right ahead. So, but I don't necessarily get opinions. I've also though seen somebody who like, well, I really didn't enjoy Cruella, but also I saw this person didn't like Big Hero 6 either. So I'm like, okay, so I don't think I have similar enjoyment of movies as this person after all. So I might enjoy it, but also what I've heard makes me think they tried really hard to replicate, because, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, one of the things that was kind of fun about that is the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of commentary on, oh, people really liking the soundtrack on this, but I've also heard people say, like, wow, they just loaded as many songs from the 70s as they possibly could squeeze into every square minute of this movie.
Yeah, that's too much of it.
Yeah, they might have overloaded, but, you know, it seems, though, that they're trying to make the movie popular by saying, all this music, see, aren't you having fun hearing this music in the movie? And, you know, it really seems to have a lot more in common with Harley Quinn movies, and it feels so unoriginal, everything I see, and even what I hear about it, I'm like, this doesn't seem very original at all, and I want some originality for crying out loud. But when this gets to where I can watch it with already my paid subscription to Disney+, I'll probably sit and watch it, and I'll I'll come in with low expectations, so I'll probably just have some fun with it and just move on.
Although I'm
hearing, I am hearing that their sequel is maybe being talked about as well. So, but yeah, they are kind of, I've also heard that you got to take this as an alternate reality from the classic film 101 Dalmatians. So I'm like, yeah, I like the old classic film. I haven't watched it in a long time, but so I'm still interested, but apparently people are enjoying it. So if you're kind of sitting on the fence and you're thinking about going to see it and you're kind of want to see it, then just go ahead and see it because you're probably going to like it. But if you're kind of like, I really don't want to, that's okay. Wait. And, you know, if you want to later, maybe check it out later. So, but, you know, it has been getting a lot of positive stuff I've been seeing in a lot of Disney groups on Facebook. People seem to be having a good time, but a lot of those are also where I find a lot of the people who are nothing Disney can do no wrong. I've also seen some reviews on like YouTube that the guy, you know, he doesn't like anything though. So, and that's part of his thing. I'm like, oh, so, okay. So I'm not, I can't really take your opinion as so much valid either, but you don't need to kind of decide for yourself. I'm not going to go and watch this one, unfortunately, right, until maybe later. I might check it out. Just because I do like, you know, Emma Stone. I really like her. And then Emma Thompson, she's always fun. So I do like the two main actresses in the movie. So I would kind of like to, you know, watch for their sake. Because, you know, Emma Stone, you know, of course, in the Amazing Spider-Man movies was Gwen Stacy. And even though La La Land, I didn't like the ending, I thought she was pretty good in that. And let's see, what else have I seen her in? I think that's about it. And then Emma Thompson, though, has been in about everything from the not Mary Poppins.
Nanny McPhee.
Nanny McPhee. Although I didn't see the second one, but that first one, she's just great in Nanny McPhee. She was great as Professor Trelawney. She's just an all-around great actress. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Cruella a pass. Like, I'm not gonna.
That's okay. You don't have to watch it. I might check it out. Though, so just you know,
it's. I guess I'm not a fan of villain movies.
Yeah.
Just in general. I mean, I like
unless they're done right. Like Joker was really, although I wouldn't recommend it for you.
I don't. Like I said, I don't care for villain movies. I guess maybe I'm too classical. I like my good guy, my bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless we get a good villain movie where Ledger is just nasty and we can enjoy the because that's part of what Joker was, that it was a scary, thrilling movie watching the slow, deep decline into madness, and it was disturbing to watch.
Yeah, that's not,
but it was scary. But that's what made it good, is they didn't hold back. They didn't try to make him like completely sympathetic, which Cruella is going for. They're trying to make you sympathetic with her, but the Joker, you weren't sympathetic after. And you, at the beginning, you're like, oh man, this poor guy. But then after a certain point, you realize, ooh, when you have a major incident, you're like, I don't feel sorry for you. Now you're scary, and you're getting scarier as it goes. And you watch the descent into madness, and it's compelling and it's a good watch. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend it for you.
See, again, villain movies don't do much for me. I'm trying to think of any movie that I've watched that's been like focused on the villain that I've enjoyed. Now, okay, so what was it? You did not care for it, but I thought there were some okay parts of the
movie, which we do not speak of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we will not speak of it. It does not exist. Neither does its sequel. So, but we're actually running close to an hour now, and we have not cracked into this deck-building game that I wanted to kind of crack in and play live, which... I guess that's okay. Maybe when Philip will have more fun than you will, but you might have fun. I mean, you like to play games with me. You're just so competitive that...
Yeah, it's better if we play together than if we oppose each other. So the DC Comics, like, if I can just kind of what I know. I mean, I like Wonder Woman.
You can play as Wonder Woman in this
from,
game.
Like, you know, the TV show, like, I kind of saw a little bit of Wonder Woman when I was a kid. Probably of the characters, like, I'm just looking at the box here. Batman. I probably actually watched more Batman, like the animated series Batman.
Because Batman's everywhere.
Than of probably any of the other ones. We watched The Flash.
Being a Batman fan is, I guess, now what they would call basic, because it's like he's everywhere.
I don't care. That's kind of what I guess it is now,
but that's okay.
I'm just trying Batman's still, to explain. You know, cool. I'm not. All of these people, I don't know. The Cyborg, I know from a little cartoon.
From the Teen Titans cartoon,
But that apparently is not like who he is in the comics.
I think there's enough similarity. Yeah, the Teen Titans kind of did lighten it up and lighten the tone of things and had more fun with it. But I enjoyed that cartoon. But I've never read a lot of DC.
The second one I didn't. I don't know.
The Teen Titans Go, I think, was aimed at a younger audience. And the younger audience did enjoy it. And that's okay. But that wasn't the same.
The first one that we saw, that first little Teen Titans when they were basically teenagers. You know,
That one was fun.
That was fun.
I enjoyed it. Which I need to see if that's on HBO Max. I'd watch that again.
We watched The Flash for a little while when it was on.
Yeah, the CW Flash and everything. Yeah, it was good for a while. Then I kind of fell off a lot of the CW
it got
shows.
A little complicated for me, I guess. It just kind of timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, I don't know, stuff happened, and I just kind of...
Yeah, welcome to multiverses. And then Marvel has dove in with the MCU. It's like, oh, we're going to bring our multiverse in. Oh, which is something else, speaking of Marvel, that I want to make sure that we talk about before we go. I guess we're not going to get a chance to play this game. But so this week, on Friday, we got the full opening of the Avengers Campus in Disneyland. Now, Disneyland is not fully open to everybody outside of California just yet, but they're working on getting that going. So unless you live in California, you weren't able to go. But they did have a premiere opening, sort of like what they did with Batu when they opened up Galaxy's Edge. And they had, you know, Kevin Feige was out. They had even Anthony Mackie came out and got to introduce the Sam Wilson Captain America, which the guy they got to, you know, he's got even the same beard. He looks almost like Anthony Mackie in the costume. It's very, very cool. But this is very neat. We've got to see a lot more detail. Of course, we'd already heard about the PIM kitchen or the PIM test kitchen and the fun oversized portions that you can buy, and also shrunk down portions of the funny goofy meals that you can have. I've also heard stories of you can get a very overlarge and expensive sandwich, which I guess is meant for your whole party to be able to eat on the sandwich because it's been quote unquote enlarged. So they've had a lot of fun with, you know, shrinking and growing food, quote unquote, basically the food that you can get. They also have, like, I think two, if not three, shawarma places, so you can go and try shawarma, which I've never had shawarma, so I would do that.
Yeah, I would like to try it for the heck of it. I feel like we can get shawarma around here.
I bet we could. I bet somebody's got it somewhere that has some Greek food, I think, because I think it's like a Greek thing. I don't know. We have to look it up.
Yeah, I feel like it's slightly ethnic, but I'm not
so sure. Yeah, it'd be fun, probably good, because I like Eros. But I've also gotten to see now, of course, The before we get into the main ride over at the web facility, the Spider-Man ride, I did get to see some footage of the Doctor Strange show, and I'm actually a little disappointed in it. I mean, it's kind of neat. You know, he comes out through a portal, and they're using prop magic and a digital screen to make him seem like he comes out of it, and then he closes a door, and he's got some sort of story of things. But I thought this was a real opportunity to have a good, high-quality illusionist do some street magic. Do it maybe some up close, but do it big enough for an audience. And there was just like three prop tricks that they did. And it was just kind of come out, and it was kind of boring. And it was like, oh, well, that was
my interest.
It didn't hold my interest.
I love Doctor Strange, like, of the, you know, Marvel people that have come out and had movies of them. I really like Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it was a great, fun movie.
And yeah, that was one of the Marvel movies that I really
enjoyed. It just didn't carry, and because they should have had some big magic and doing some like real live magic, get an actual magician, illusionist to come out and do a full show as Doctor Strange would be awesome, and that's really a missed opportunity. But you know, when they get it open there, they have time to kind of make some tweaks, some adjustments, and everything, and do more than just a few prop tricks.
Well, and this is Disney. Like, bring on the holograms, bring on the, you know, whatever.
Outdoors, I think it can be difficult to do some of these holograms, and they've got them as an outdoor show.
I just, lights, magic, act like, do, you know.
Something
like,
big.
Do something big. And even if you have to put it indoors to make it, you know, that way, then that would be better, because then you could actually make something neat out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and it, not to say that it wasn't neat. I kind of.
Yeah, liked, it was kind of neat, but it wasn't what it could have been.
I don't mind prop magic, and I don't mind. Yeah. It's obvious that that's what that was.
Yeah. It's like, I've seen that. Things that can do that before, you know.
Yeah. You know, the whole
like, oh, that one there looked like it was a chain bag. And yeah, then one, it was some pretty good puppeteering he was doing with this other thing. And he had like this puppet thing. But
yeah.
It's like, man, I've seen better tricks than this. I wanted to see some good, like, magic tricks. You know, make me believe he's really doing something. Then, the other things now. So they have the web, which is like it's like worldwide engineering or something labs. But this is where you go through. And they have a bunch of teenagers that are working to. I forget what the word is, where you're trying to kind of replicate like superpowers by like And like they're backwards compatible, not backwards compatible, backwards, retroactive, you know, reverse engineering. That's the word. Thank you. They're trying to reverse engineer different kind of powers, and they've come up with like web shooters. And Peter Parker has gotten to be part of this program. And he, well, we're going to make some technology for some of our heroes. We're going to make some for Spider-Man. He's actually, you know, I've gotten to meet him, you know, he's kind of comes from that angle. And they do have Tom Holland as Peter Parker, but this is basically a shooting gallery, but he's make these little spider bots, and he gave them a feature to self-replicate, but the self-replicating goes out of control as you go into the queue for the ride, and they're just replicating and running amok, and you actually get to go through on the ride, and it's got 3D, it requires 3D glasses, but as you fling your arms out to fire webs, you're trying to web up all these little spider bots. And I've even gotten to see where in these stories you can buy, like, if you want a repulsor blast, you can fire like repulsor blasts, like Iron Man style. You can have different things that you can buy in the store that'll actually interact on the ride. Plus, they have other ways it'll interact apparently around the park, and they're fun things to play with at home. And plus, okay, y'all, I just turned 44. It was my birthday. If you haven't bought me anything for my birthday, somebody can buy me a spider bot. I think they're adorable. I want one.
Like I said, they reminded me so much of those virus bugs from Wreck-It Ralph.
They kind of do.
They look so much. And then when you were talking about how they self-replicate, I'm like, it's the virus.
Yeah, it's the virus bugs. But it also, you know, they're really kind of cute and fun. They're little remote control, little spider bots. I would like one. They're cute. And I don't like spiders, but these are cute. They're cute little toys. And I, of course, want a droid from Galaxy's Edge, too. I watched Adam the Woo put his droid together this week. And I'm like, I really want one of those.
The droids were cute. The little droids were.
That would be fun to put together. And,
I'm not sure if it's worth the price.
Yeah, they're expensive. Like, you really have to plan ahead.
A little gougy on that one, I think.
Yeah. But it is a remote control device. Remote control things are expensive. But you do pay Disney tax, what we call it.
It's a little gougy.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it works. So the Avengers Campus is now open, and they have, you know, you can see a lot of different characters. Now, one thing, this will be another thing I hope they manage to fix. And it is still pretty cool that they managed to do this. So they have about... You know, they have a lot of stuff that will happen up on the top of buildings, or not necessarily on the roof, but on like balconies, that you might see Black Panther come out and fight some villains or whatever outside, you know, where you can watch it, you know. But they'll have, say, Spider-Man is up there, and he'll be like, hi, and they have Tom Holland's voiceover coming out. So he just, you know, the actor, of course, just waving. But there'll be other people being Spider-Man. So this person will, of course, be, he's a bit of a gymnast, and you watch him kind of parkouring around some stuff, and then he goes behind a thing like he's supposed to be going up on the roof because he wants to test out a thing to a web sling from like a launch him. Now, from here, you've got this animatronic that we got to see some footage that they were worked really hard on this thing. And this is very difficult to do, but they've got it to where it'll kind of web sling and then flung. And it kind of does a flip when it works right. It looks cool. It'll web sling and kind of does a flip, and then it drops somewhere out of sight. And then another person dressed as Spider-Man will come out as if Spider-Man has done a web sling and flip around. You know, we're going with imagination. But I've seen a lot of footage of this thing looking like if you took a toy and flung it through the air.
Oh no.
And so it's not doing the nice tuck and roll that the animatronic is. I've seen it can kind of tuck and roll and looks really cool when it works, but I've seen more often than not it's not tucking and roll. No. It's kind of flailing and tumbling badly through the air.
I'm having visions of like an action figure.
Yeah, if you've ever just when you were a kid flung G.I. Joe into the air and he just kind of tumbles recklessly, that's what this thing is unfortunately looking like. And I know it's a super difficult thing and it's amazing they even come up with something to make it to do this to make it look like Spider-Man was web slinging and over through there. And I, you know, given some time, they'll work out the bugs.
Yeah.
But right now it's like, man, it doesn't always look, but I've seen footage when it works and it looks cool, but I've seen more footage of it not working right. And it's kind of funny looking because it looks like, blah. It looks more maybe like Miles Morales trying to learn the ropes compared to Peter Parker, who's been at this for a while.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe they're pushing the technology a little too.
But that's exactly what Walt would have them do. Push the technology, come up with new things.
I know, but if it's not, here's the thing. Like, okay, so when I was, as an interpreter for my naturalist job, there was like a rule of like, you know, yeah, technology is great, but it should not be used if it detracts from what you're trying to present. And so right now it seems that it's doing more detraction.
Yeah.
When it, like, you know, okay, when it works, it's great. But if it's more often than not working,
it's funny still. So it's still entertaining.
Take it back and tweak it and maybe change, maybe instead of doing a little tuck and roll, maybe it just does a swing.
But it's supposed to be launching from the swing, and then it's got to land over at the thing over here. That way, the other guy can come out as if it was the animatronic.
I haven't seen it, but I'm
It's been pretty funny to watch when it's gone wrong, but it's cool when it works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great idea. And I got to see, a long time ago when they were testing this out and working on the technology to make this so do it. It's like, and you can see where they were trying to work some of the kinks out of it. And it's something that's like super difficult to get to work right, because you're flinging it through the air. Mm-hmm. And you're just hoping that it forms and does it tuck into where it should flip, do like one decent flip is what they're aiming for.
And that's the cutting edge of where robots are right now.
Yeah.
Is to trying to make them look more like a function and look, even with the computer animation. The thing that I guess bothers me, the thing that I notice the most, is the lip movement.
Yeah.
To me, I when I see bad lip movement, that it's either over exaggerating like the O's or whatever, or maybe it's not especially like the top lip is not moving realistically. Like it bothers me throughout whatever it is that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but it's always like around the mouth that is hard. But and for robots and that kind of thing, getting the arms and the legs to move realistically. Yeah. I mean, they're doing such great things with all of that stuff. But we're on that cutting edge of trying to get that more perfected. Yeah.
Because even the animatronics that are amazing to watch, they don't seem quite. They don't move exactly like a human. They're almost more fluid in their movements, but they are fun to watch. They're really really neat. Well, but it's still the idea that you can watch Spider-Man a lot in person swing through the air is still really cool. So it's still really entertaining. Yeah. It's just funny when it kind of seems to.
I know you kind of like those goofy fails. I don't know. For me, I always feel a little cringy because I feel bad for the people who are putting it on. Like they want it to go well and then it doesn't. And then.
Yeah, it's better that than to do it as a stunt and have risk that somebody a stunt might go wrong. But they are.
Yeah.
The guy who comes out on the other side is actually hooked to. And they've got a crane thing above him. You can kind of tell that there's a crane for him, but it's kind of neat that he's able to go like, oh, I'll be down in a minute, and he goes and climbs down the wall basically. And you can tell he's on a wire, but he's looking like he's climbing down a wall. He'll go out of sight, and then the person who's going to meet and greet with the guests will come out of another spot as if he was still. So you've got about
good coordination
and with the robot. You've got like three different people playing as Spider-Man before he gets on the street level. And so, but that's just cool, the effort they're putting in to try to make it. They got to work a few bugs out, but that's still just really kind of fun to just bring you to life and have an area where you feel like you're in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and in a campus where heroes are training and you will be taught as well. In fact, you can meet, I thought they said her like Okoye. I always get her, get her name. I lose her name because she's not a major character, but she's a cool character. But the main bodyguard that Chitala had. They got a name for that particular card. They have somebody as that.
So cool.
Yeah, she's very cool, but I never quite catch her name even when they've said it. But it sounds like it's like something similar to Okoye. But I might be getting that messed up because we had Christian Okoye, a Chiefs player, a long time ago, who was from Nigeria. But she comes out and actually there's a show and she teaches some stuff too. I haven't gotten to see any footage of that show yet, but I'm sure I will. But how cool is it they even have her out there? And we've even been hearing that they are planning. Because we've lost the actor. Oh my golly!
Yeah,
she's going to have a series on Disney Plus about her. So I'm like, well, that could be cool. I can probably get into it because I think she's become more of a character in the comics as well. But I don't read Black Panther comics and stuff, and I haven't gotten to read really anything in a long time.
One of my favorite things about the Black Panther movie was the lady bodyguards.
Yeah, they were pretty awesome.
And that and then his sister was with all the the technology and stuff like that. Like it was. It was just really neat, and the way that they presented it all, like, it was so credible. It sometimes you watch, oh, yeah, we've got the strong women heroine, and it seems forced. But that one, the way that they made the story and put it together, like, it didn't, it was genuine. Like, you could, like, you believe these women can kick butt and take a bunch of men with them. Like, they can just... I really enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, and this is actually, I was talking with Brian from The Real Brian Show. We were talking about this, like in Star Trek, the original Star Trek, Uhura was just there.
Yeah.
And that's all it took. There was no, look, a black woman is doing a prominent role on a starship. Nope, she was just there. She just happened to be black and a woman, and she was communication, and she was awesome. But it was because they didn't make a big deal. She was just there. It had a huge impact just putting it there and not making a big deal. Well, that's all you got to do. Put a character there and don't make a big deal about that being the character.
And so,
and just let it be natural.
In order for the believability.
Yeah.
Because this is supposed to be a time of advancement. This is supposed to be, you know, we are accepting of all, like we're overcoming all the vices, you know, back in the ancient times, which would be like what our period is. That makes more sense for her just to be accepted as part of the crew.
She's just there. Instead she's of just like, doing the thing.
And they call on her multiple times to be like, hey, work on the communication. Like, you know, communication goes down because inevitably it's going to happen. Yeah. You know, like a Star Trek. Okay. And she's the only one that knows how to fix it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what she does.
And then they would have times where, you know, she's singing, you know, in the you know, rec room or whatever they call it there.
Oh, yeah.
Her songs. And then you have some of the, like, some episode where someone down in engineering, like, he's there all by himself. And, okay, can I hear a song? And so she sings. And, you know, for him while he's down there. And then, of course, there were other people in the rec room and stuff. So they really let her talents be shown in a way that was very natural.
Yeah. And that's the way you do it. That's the way you just, you know, you don't force it. Just let him just be out there. Just stick him there.
The one thing I do
and don't make a big deal. You just like, here they are. They're just fitting right in.
How in the world did they get those big old speaker things that suck out of her ears to stay in there? You know what I'm talking about? Like their little
Yeah, she'd have that little thing that she would listen in on.
Giant.
It probably hooked around her ear or something.
Stuck in her ear.
If I ever get to meet the actress, we'll ask her.
I would like to know did they actually have like a plastic piece that went around her ear? Because usually hair was pulled back. Like it wasn't, you know, down.
Yeah, it was her hair was usually styled for the 60s.
Yeah. So. Well, you want to talk about style for the 60s. What was was it Ensign? The girl with the blonde hair and all of the like the giant.
Oh, yeah. Giant hair. Was still in there. Even if you watch the original Star Wars stuff, you can see like it still has that 70s and 80s hairstyle, which is why the prequels looked a little weird, I think, with the hairstyles, because they didn't have some of the hairstyles pretty much part of their time.
A little, yeah. I can see it with the sideburns.
Oh, yeah.
Like the sideburns for like, especially like the Imperial officers.
Yeah.
A little bit with Luke's hairstyle, kind of got the moppy thing.
But it was the hairstyles was still a product of the time that they were made. Except for Leia's hair was always creative.
Was very creative. I do see a little bit of the times with it being longer because that longer straight hair, you know, was kind of a 70s, 60s, 70s kind of thing.
And 80s.
70s.
Yeah.
You know, but they did really good to try to make it look different enough from the modern that you don't notice so much. It's when like people like us, we go back and we watch it over again, like, oh yeah, that one is definitely of the time.
Anyways, we're chasing that rabbit around too. So all right, but we're not going to get to the game. We've gotten about an hour and 15 into the show. I think we've covered almost wrapped everything that at least that I had planned. We have now talked and then we've chased a bunch of rabbits. I don't even know what to call this show. This episode has been everywhere. I mean, we talked about everything.
Husband and wife blathers.
Yes, we have talked on but see how well we just kind of start talking. But see, we've been married now. We actually hit our anniversary. We've been married 18 years. We dated 4 years before that.
Yep.
And then before we were even dating, there was time we were kind of hanging out and everybody was there was a will they won't they. It'd make a really good movie or a television show. Well, speaking of television shows and a lot of will they, won't they, the Friends reunion thing was kind of a big deal this week. I actually went ahead and watched it, but I never really watched much of Friends. I watched some Friends, Yeah, but I watched the reunion this week. And so, but that was kind of the other big thing. And I was like, well, that was interesting. And it was kind of fun to just see everybody. That was it. Yep.
Although we did kind of
but
agree.
That was it.
We did kind of agree that when the whole, the two, like, they were together and then
they were together,
and then we both agreed that like the show could have still gone on if they'd stayed together, and honestly that's when I dropped off.
That's I think what kind of started to kill it for me, because a lot of television, they don't know what to do when they've played with the characters, like, oh well, will they ever get together? And then they kind of like, oh, we got them together, and then they got to figure, oh, we got to pull them apart because we don't know where to go with this anymore. That happens on a lot of television. But anyways, I think it's about time we just go ahead and wrap this up. So we hope you all had fun with this. You know, this was kind of a very random type of show. We meant to talk about all this stuff while playing the game, and we've never even opened the box. So we're going to play this game and talk through it. I also have a Haunted Mansion game I want to get out and play and talk about with the fun of playing with that Haunted Mansion game. Because
that's kind of like life, isn't it? It's Haunted Mansion life.
No. That's a different game. I have that. I've had that one for a long time. Oh, but I've got... This is a Haunted Mansion game. It is a game of the Haunted Mansion.
Oh.
And this is where you try to not get scared.
I feel like you would have an advantage on that one because you've actually been to the Haunted Mansion.
That doesn't give me an advantage in playing a game on it.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is what I got it last spring while we were quarantined. I managed to get myself a copy of it, and we never got a chance to just sit down and play it. But you're trying to collect ghosts without getting spooked and scared away from it.
A little more up my alley.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We need to play that one too, and we'll probably play that as a live as a podcast or do a video or something one of these days.
Special edition or something.
We need to play. There's a lot of games I have that we need to play. So, but yeah, we didn't get around to playing that one. We just talked about stuff. But I don't have my ending sounder yet. But y'all got to hear my new opening. I hope you enjoyed that. And I want to give some thank yous and shout outs to them. And of course, that'll be in my ending credits. So what you heard there was Ricky Pope. Of Christian Nerds Unite. It's a podcast. Go check that out. If you happen to be a Christian nerd, then you'll enjoy it. If not, you might still enjoy it. But I heard a really good episode where he got into Lord of the Rings and some of the Tolkien being a very very Catholic person. He put his faith just kind of naturally came out in Lord of the Rings. So, but he went into the books. A very very cool episode. But he does things like that. Also, you heard Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show, which is I believe nationally syndicated radio program. That's actually the morning show we carry at the place where I work.
Aren't they from Missouri?
Huh?
Aren't they from Missouri?
I think one of them might be from Missouri. I think mainly from Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
But they've worked, I believe, in Missouri, I believe. I don't know. I don't know all the details. But Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite Wall Show, check your local listings and see if they're playing on a radio station. They have a fun show that we hear every morning. And then also you heard from Karen Kennedy. She lives in Australia. That's all I know to say about her. I don't know if she's got anything. She used to sing with the Saguaro Sisters, and I hope I said that right. Now, the Saguaro Sisters was actually her and, I believe, her two daughters. They're super talented. When they sing on their own, they were just like the Andrews Sisters.
Yeah,
I mean, they're really good. I've got a CD where they're singing with Will Ryan, Will Ryan's been on the show. When Will Ryan would have the Cactus County Cowboys, and he's a great songwriter. Just writes these great... He doesn't call it country songs. They're Western songs because he sings cowboy songs. And they would sing with... Oh, but yeah, she's super great talented. So thank you to all those who helped me make this new opening. And go and check out their endeavors if they have one. And if Karen Kennedy has something she's working on, she moved back to Australia. I think they're from Australia originally. She moved back there and got married, if I remember everything correctly from Facebook. But yep, so she's in Australia. I don't know what she's doing there, but she's a tremendous talent. So if she's doing something cool, hopefully she'll let me know so I can tell everybody about it. But thank you for going in here. And we haven't used any of our catchphrases because now we're saying to Neverland and beyond. Remember, of course, to keep a pixie in your pocket. That's that young at heart, positive attitude that you keep in your pocket, and you can pull that pixie out and share dust out to share it with others. We're still talking pixie dust here. Also, one of the news things we tell everybody, get lost. And what I mean by that is when we enjoy our good stories, books, movies, games, or whatever, and you kind of lose yourself into it, sometimes you lose yourself is where you actually find yourself. So I'm going to put it on a t-shirt eventually, get lost. So when I say it, I'm not telling you to go away. I'm telling you, get lost.
Not all who wander are lost.
Exactly. But go out and wander and enjoy something fun. So I got to make sure I say that the right way and enough to where people understand what I see if I end the show and say, all right, get lost. Make sure they know that I'm not telling them to go away. I'm telling them, go get lost in an adventure. Find just, heck, even we went to the zoo. You can get lost in an adventure having going to the zoo. Yeah.
Oh, zoo.
Yeah. And you have the unfortunate luck of, a flicker just landed out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Flickers are back there. We got birds in the backyard. Sorry. But when we went on our 5-year trip back to the Omaha Zoo, you got pooped on by a fruit bat.
Yep.
And we went to the zoo this time. We went to go feed the lorikeets inside a lorikeet cage. One sat on your head and dropped one eye on your head, too.
You have to understand that I have a whole lifetime of being pooped on.
And, yeah, that's kind of your role in life.
I've been pooped on by cats and turtles and snakes, and I don't even know. I haven't even kept a track of what all I've... Frogs.
So if we go somewhere and someone's going to get pooped on, it will be you.
It's going to be me. I am the giant poop target. I don't know. I feel like I need a big Target shirt or like hat or something. I don't know.
It says poop here.
Poop here or something.
Well, that's a great way to end the show. It was poop here.